From KCRW in Santa Monica, this is The Treatment.
Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. You can hear the show at KCRW.com. My guest, Sally Hawkins, has had quite a career with Mike Lee alone in just three movies, All or Nothing, Fear of Drake, and now the newest, Happy Go Lucky. She's gone from being an integral part of the ensemble to the one the film was built around. Sally, thanks so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me. It's lovely.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Now, is it true that you didn't know what the end of the film was going to be until...
No. No one did, including Mike, or he was keeping it very, very secret. But, Mike invited me into, after filming, there's sort of a mini hiatus period where Mike's getting all these thoughts and together about scenes and where they fit and sort of trying to get a through line of the film together. And he invited me in to have a chat and talk things through and during this period. And he was in this rehearsal room, and I don't know if he'd slept for several days, and he was looking very bleary-eyed and a bit manic, and he had the whole film sort of skeleton structure planned out on the walls in these drawings and notes, and it was amazing. It was like seeing the inside of his brain. And then it just stopped, and he said, we still don't know what happens. And that's incredibly exciting.
Well, it must have been. It's funny, too, because I guess for me, I think about you mostly from Persuasion, because
right.
You're just so wonderful as Anne Elliot in that
thank
piece.
You.
And it's almost like you're playing the first Jane Austen heroine in a Mike Lee film.
Oh, do you think so?
I do, yeah. She seems like a much simpler character than she turns out to be.
Yes. It's an interesting point, you know, comparing it to Anne Elliot, and because there is a great compassion there. And
a kind of generosity of spirit we don't often see in Mike Lee films.
Yes. Well, yeah, I think, or it's very well hidden. And what's quite lovely about it, you stay with one character and you see that sort of unravelling and therefore an insight into that complexity. But the way Mike works, all his characters and all his actors are asked of them to plunge depths and to create highly complex human beings that are very rich and have a lot going on, whether you see them for a moment or a tiny millisecond of a beat. They've still done all the work and all the preparation. And that's what makes his film so rich and so alive, because every single person is whether they're showing it or not, or whether you're aware of it or not, there are so many things going on. Like, for us all at the same time, we, as human beings, we're sort of thinking on many, many levels, and we're sort of built up of many things and multi-layered. And Mike is interested in capturing that. And I think what's interesting about the way he works is whether you're aware of it or not, it's just there. And that richness in the detail. And if you choose to look, you'll see it.
But there's a plain spoken quality to her that I think of Mike Lee characters as characters who have secrets, often even from themselves.
Right.
And yeah. She is someone who doesn't lead her life in that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, she's very open, and it's all out there. And yet there is a lot that she has to give. But she doesn't choose to show that all the time. And I think she doesn't realise how much. But she does change throughout the film. And people change her and her experiences with people. But she doesn't have anything to hide. And it's so refreshing, actually, as a character to play that. And she has no... A lot of people, sort of their response to the film and expecting something awful to happen to her. And it's lovely to turn that on its head and surprise people the fact it doesn't. Mike loves surprising people in unexpected ways.
He does. It's The Treatment. My guest is actress Sally Hawkins, who has received a number of accolades for her performance in Happy Go Lucky, including awards from the New York and L.A. film critics. And as you were talking about that, what I realized is that there's a kind of suspense that happens in Happy-Go-Lucky because we're expecting that other yes. shoe to drop.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. You're expecting her to die, fall off the edge of a cliff, explode.
And ruin the lives of everybody around her after all these things happen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she's actually, at the center of it, she's incredibly grounded and she's...
How much of that is you, I have to ask, because my experience has been with you playing often fairly, let's say, grim characters in 20,000 right. Streets or Fingersmith or, you know, those kinds of things where there's certainly different kinds of demands on you. But just from the brief conversations I've been having, this seems in some ways very close to you.
Oh, well, that's a compliment. You always feel that they're incredibly different to you, all your characters you play, but there are certain elements of yourself that you... stretch or you heighten and you tap into as a resource and you use to make, well, for me to understand what's going on and of their logic and to unravel them. And a starting point for her was a childlike naughtiness, which...
And a pleasure in that naughtiness too.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And her complete, which I don't have, ability to use it and to really tap into that. And I think, you know, it's a lesson for us all to, you know, keep the inner child alive or the inner Poppy. And I loved that about her. And it was tapping into something that I had, or I still have, but I keep it in the bag, in the box. Right, she doesn't really, she just lets it out, lets it free, and isn't afraid of sort of being cheeky and naughty and quite provoking.
Well, I just think that really in the scenes with Eddie Morrison, your driving instructor in the car, where anybody else would be kind of appalled and outraged, and she was sort of having a bit of fun just sort of like Absolutely. Playing with what a incredible sort of xenophobe he is.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that was so much fun. I mean, working with Eddie, when I first met Eddie, it was in character.
Oh.
As Poppy, and he was Scott, and it was as you see it in the film, and opening the door and bouncing out and saying, "All right, I'm Poppy." And then the improvisation, it was for hours, and we improvised days, and doing sort of real-time driving lessons. And because the sparks, I mean, they're on two ends of the scale.
And what's really touching, too, he really wants her to like him. He's trying really hard to be charming.
Of course. And it gets it so wrong, and that's heartbreaking. And you see that because Eddie is a phenomenal actor.
For me, there are so many moments like that where what she does is sort of take the measure of every person she meets.
Yeah.
And that's where the complication comes in, because you see, even though she's pretty bright-eyed and, again, really generous of spirit, she also has an eye towards the person she's talking to.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, totally. She's very aware and she's very bright. In that sense.
Cagey in a way that you wouldn't expect.
No, quite savvy, yeah. And I'm not afraid to use that side of her either, more and more, actually. But I think you have to be, you have to be if you're a teacher. I mean, you have to be aware of what's going on with all your 30 little beings at the same time and be aware and almost have a hypersensitivity in that way. And But she's not afraid of using her intelligence and in the case of Scott, almost using her intelligence but also her humour to provoke and to get a response and to also show him hold up a mirror to what he's doing. And the more she does that, the more he can't, it won't. Look, the more painful it is for him.
I guess I find myself wondering as you talk about this, so many of the characters, even the characters you played in other Mike Leigh films, are sort of, there's this kind of sense of loneliness about them. And that's not the case here with
Poppy. No. She's very happy and pleased with her a lot. And like she says in the film, life is hard and, you know, there are ups and downs, but ultimately, I haven't got anything to complain about. I've got some wonderful friends, and she's just happy to be alive and loves people. You know, she's a people person and curious about people, and therefore highly creative. You know, the more curious you are, the more creative you become.
We should say again, it's the treatment. Yeah. My guest is Sally Hawkins, and a superlative performance in Happy Go Lucky to go along with the other things she's been doing in her career, but. It's almost as you're playing it as if these are scenes for her in some weird ways, if she's like an actress or even in some ways a director looking to provoke response.
I mean, it's interesting sort of being in Poppy's shoes and skipping through the film as she does, meeting various people. There are different responses, and some just open-armed embrace of her and that positivity and that madness and quirkiness, and some it really putting them on edge. And if she needs to provoke she's not judgmental of people, of anyone. And she understands, you know, everyone's different. And she's also not judgmental of herself. And I think that's quite important.
Yeah, because there's often that sense, too, Michael, of people not being happy with their lot.
Yeah.
And sort of like living under a cloud. Even the sense of color in the film was pretty unusual for Michael.
Oh, yes.
Film.
Yeah. And we were actually we were using a film stock that hadn't ever been used before. And it sort of heightened the color. And I've always been a fan of sort of 1950s Technicolor.
Oh.
And the film is just popping out of the screen. And the film is an extension of Poppy in that way, and the colour she sees in life. And that's what's fascinating about being a witness to Mike's work and the people that work around him. And Mike talks to them at length about who these people are and all the characters in depth, and making sure they know, everyone knows, their characters' life stories and influences and what they would have on their walls, what colours they like to wear, what textures they like to wear, what styles, what shops they like to shop in, and what books inspire them, what ones they hate. And everyone, like from the makeup artist and the costume designer and the production designer, everyone is involved in that.
And that sense of preparation must make it, in some ways, by the time you get into the filming, you really know how this character lives and breathes.
Yeah, you do, yeah. Yeah, it's great, and it's such a luxury. You feel very spoiled. You have 6 months to prepare and 6 months to build all these layers in. And but when you think, when people say, well, 6 months, what do you do with that? But actually, when you're working with Mike, you really work very hard. And because every hour is sort of filled. And also there's so much more to do, and you're running out of time, because you're not only building these characters from scratch and layering it in an incredibly rich, complex way, but you're also having to build a story and create relationships, and very real ones, and do and put hours of days of weeks of research in as well. There's so much, you know, to do, and you could go on as well, because it's limitless. The sort of and once you start, you can't stop. And because of the nature of Poppy being a bit of a magpie and quite eclectic and needing everything and loving everything and sort of finding beauty in everything and
finding a place for everything in her life.
Yes, yeah. So it was limitless. I mean, it was, well, I couldn't stop.
Well, we have to, for just a second, have to take a break.
Oh, no.
No, I'm sorry. We'll be back. My guest is Sally Hawkins. She's the aptly named Poppy in Mike Leigh's Happy Go Lucky. I'm not Poppy. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
You're listening to The Treatment with Elvis Mitchell from the studios of KCRW Santa Monica.
Welcome back. It's not limitless. It's The Treatment. My guest is Sally Hawkins, the star of Mike Leigh's Happy Go Lucky. Something I wanted to ask you is, you've done so many things that were adaptations, and I wonder, as playing a character that somebody has built a life for in a book as compared to the things you do with Mike Lee, mm. which you get to create. For example, let's say then with the Jane Austen, there's such yeah. an attachment that people have to those characters because yeah. they feel like they – those people are them because they read those books. And people
sure.
who read Jane Austen
yes,
tend to read all of them
yeah,
because
yeah.
there's so few, so it makes
well,
it easy.
You can't stop. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they feel like those people, they know and they belong mm. to them.
Mm.
And that's a real challenge and I think a very specific kind of difficulty.
Yes, you're completely, absolutely. And you do sort of feel a responsibility. And because, you know, these books are classics for a reason and... that's a role that sort of that comes with a lot of expectation, you know. These books are very special to people and hold a special place in people's hearts. And
was it the same for you? Were you a Jane Austen fan?
Yes, I was. And then, but I'd read Persuasion quite early, when I was quite young, and I had a different, I suppose, I was at a different place in my life. And then reading it, sort of later on and older and sort of. I wouldn't say wiser, but definitely not. Seem to be regressing. But sort of being at the same age as Anne, and that was very interesting. And I sort of saw so much more and understood, well, or it just gave, it's sort of a different insight and into her. And I'm glad it's quite interesting reading it then and then reading it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. I had no appreciation actually of how incredible a book it is, and I then couldn't stop sort of about Jane Austen. I didn't really know much about her and hadn't read her letters before, and realizing that she wrote at the end of her life. And
it's a very different book for her than the other books.
Yeah, and you sort of compare it to something like Northanger Abbey. Right at the beginning of her career, and also such a short career. I think she was only, you know, she's only, I think, 42, and that's so sad. You think, well, if you'd gone on, what would you have? But there's such a, in the book, there's a sort of a tone of knowing that it's perhaps, I mean, perhaps I read into that, knowing that she hasn't got long. And that, in a way, incredibly poignant. And she was writing when she was quite ill. And heartbreaking. And reading her letters that she was writing at the same time.
Oh, in those letters, she was aware of at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, she did know.
Yeah. And then the letters of her sister, once she'd passed away, are so sad. I mean, heartbreaking. And she was what I got from her letters, what came across was this real kindness, again, actually.
And again, which is why it brings me back around to Happy Go Lucky, just because Poppy is, that could almost be the name of a Jane Austen heroine. That kind of eagerness for life, too.
Yeah, sure.
Which again, we tend to not associate with Mike Lee.
Absolutely. Oh, but he has that.
Does he?
Incredibly so. And he loves people. He loves life, and he can't stop learning. And he's just in his own way a magpie, and he's a book obsessive, and he can't stop. He's art. He loves art. He loves theatre. I mean, he loves people, and I think he has this reputation of being. I just can't see that in him. This sort of being a bit sort of a grump, and I just in
yes, we have sad evidence
experience,
of that in you.
Let me tell you, he's not. he's very bright, and he definitely keeps people on their toes. He wants to connect, and he's again like everyone does, but he'll never stop learning. And he'll never stop pushing himself, and challenging himself, and he'll never stop doing that for other people as well. In his way, he is like Poppy.
Well, my guess is Sally Hawkins apparently is playing Mike Lee as Poppy in Happy Go Lucky. It's the treatment.
That's my theory.
Now, I know that I wonder if you got something, if it helped growing up having parents who were illustrators of children's books to play somebody who's a teacher who worked, if that was something you were able to use at all.
Yes, actually. Yeah, I really did tap into that incredible resource. That's my childhood and quite magical, really. I'm so proud of them. But they sort of gave me... It gave me a great knowledge and of children's authors and illustrators and knowing which I still have, and I'm still fascinated. And I love children. I mean, it's art, and they're creating worlds and they're making them up. And I think that's what inspired me as a child, is seeing my parents have nothing, like Mike. Just a kernel of an idea that then becomes alive, and they make something with that, and it's something they follow that, and they follow their excitement as well, which I think is quite interesting and important, and that's the greatest sort of thing I learned from them. Really, I think creativity was so highly valued, and. Yeah, I was very lucky in that way.
Was there a lot of energy in your house growing up?
Oh my God! Yeah.
So I wonder if you come by this naturally, or if this is, are you atypical for the Hawkins household?
God, the Hawkins blood. I don't know what is in it. None of us sleep. yeah, with or without coffee, and reading about 5 books at the same time, and never getting through any of them, and then picking up something else. But he's they're amazing. So I there was a lot of energy going around.
But you're obviously quite a reader yourself.
I love words. I love books. I mean, I don't. I always feel like I don't read enough. Flat is full of books. And a pile of got to be read now.
And what are you reading now? What do you read on the plane?
Turn of the Screw, actually.
You're just saying you're Henry James. This is interesting too, because there's always that sense too of a secret being kept often from the protagonist in Henry James.
Yeah,
kind of that sense of them being the last to know.
Yes.
And that feels to me, in some ways, and you can talk about this having worked with Mike 3 times. There's that sense of wanting to keep the audience kind of a little bit, isn't there?
Yes, because in an actor, as you're working with Mike, it's no actor is allowed to talk about what they're doing with other actors. No, because you could give the game away, and if you meet them in character and they know already about your character and what they're doing and their secrets, it spoils it, and it. The magic goes, and the improvisation therefore can't be alive and real and spontaneous, because somebody will already have an insight. And what you see up there on the screen is, in essence, the first improvisation that you have with that character. And it's something Mike will see, something that he, a particular moment that he wants to show, and then you work at honing that and preparing a scene around that moment. So, yeah, it's full of secrets. It's sort of built on keeping that world alive and your character's world alive and secret for you. And it becomes quite special for you as well.
This is The Treatment. My guest is Sally Hawkins, the star of Mike Leigh's Happy-Go-Lucky. I'm just wondering, though, because so much of acting is about, well, knowing and having that you have rehearsal, so people have a sense of where it is they're going. Yet so much of what you're talking about, working with Mike, is about trying to find that sense of mystery that keeps it alive for you.
Oh, yeah.
So it seems like it's trying to really balance two different disciplines.
Definitely, yeah. You're sort of spinning lots of plates. And but it's quite refreshing, actually, not to talk about it, you know, to keep it for yourself.
Is that a good thing?
I think it's great, actually. Yeah, I mean, it, you know, and it also, I think it stops you being too analytical and worrying too much. It's contained in the rehearsal room, and you keep it there, and you don't try and discuss it with anyone else, and you don't try and sort of work it through with friends or family and other actors and get their opinions and, you know, get lots of opinion. And
but isn't that a big part of what you do, though? You're constantly sort of like offering stuff up just to get a sense of how it feels?
Yes, yes, you are. And it is, at times, it's incredibly frustrating. And you're sort of trying to, you know, button your mouth to stop the words spilling out and to give the game away.
But I just find that so often in talking to actors that they do want to sort of test the waters a little bit just because until you put it out there, you don't know how it's going
to
play.
It's true. You have to have a lot of faith and trust in Mike. And he demands that of you. You just have to give in.
How soon do you feel that?
You feel that from day one.
Do you? Mike,
yeah, he's there with you every step of the way. And he's watching all his actors like that. Not only his actors, those working behind the scenes, production team. He's the hub. He's the heart of it all.
But he has all the answers, right? He's the one. He's the keeper of the secrets.
But
isn't
then
it?
Suddenly he'll turn around and say, "Do I have all the answers? I don't know if I do." He can only know as it goes along and as it unfolds.
Well, when did you know that you were going to be the center of the piece?
I never let myself believe it.
I imagine that must have been kind of a secret from you as well, wasn't it?
Yes. I mean, I was aware that that was a sort of idea and that's what he was aiming for. But whether that comes into fruition and whether that works because of what you're doing and bringing up to the table, you know, bringing to the table, and whether you're coming up with the goods, that's another thing. So, but I think if I did go there in my head, I think I probably would have exploded under
really?
The pressure.
But you must have had some kind of intuition about it.
Well, I just sort of had to deal with one day at a time and deal with just focus on Poppy because it's truly a collaboration and you're working with everyone is doing incredible amount of work you sort of the nature of the way he works, you don't really know how much you're going to end up. And I didn't know to what extent. I mean, I'd hoped that I'd get quite a nice part, but it's because of the organic nature of the work. I mean, he wants to use all his actors, all the actors he employs, because he works with some incredible actors and everyone is putting so much work in, and it destroys him when he can't, when they have just a tiny moment, and it really, really upsets him.
Well, speaking of being destroyed, I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Oh.
I'd ask you to come back. I don't care under what circumstances. Oh. It'd be great to have you come back, Sally.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. It was a lovely chat.
Oh, my pleasure. My guest is Sally Hawkins. She is the aptly named Poppy of Happy Go Lucky. Again, thanks for doing this, and please come back.
I would love to.
Our recording engineer at KCRW in Santa Monica is Mario Diaz, with assistance from Paul Ruiz at Argo Networks in New York. Bob Carlson is the editor. Gemma Dempsey is the producer. With No Secrets Here, I'm Elvis Mitchell. It's The Treatment.
An audio archive of this and other programs can be found at kcrw.com. For questions and comments about The Treatment, please email us at thetreatment@kcrw.com. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.